have a tremendous hakaras hatayif to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the schus all of these years to be learning this form of Tzadik Yisad Olam Rav Kook. Today's his yard site, schus Yigalena, that it came out Hashgacha Pratis like this, that Gimel Elul, to be able to begin the Nuzman and to be Makasha ourselves, the Kesha Amit, to bind ourselves, our souls, Be'emes, for this Tzaddik who was walking on the earth not so long ago, but his eyes were mamish in the future, and he saw what it was going to be like. And I have a Kosa Taif, since my dear friend Ruby is here, Ruben Akai and Mandy, the whole hishtadlus to learn Rav Kook's Svarim, and his oiras to learn came from Reuven, and then over time the shiurim were able to be put together, and Baruch Hashem, the help of the chevra, I want to start saying all the different names, but the chevraim who all helped to make it possible to put into writing some of what we spoke about over the years with Eretz HaTshuva. And Mitch Hashem, hope to continue. That's the first chelik of the Sefer, and a beautiful job was done. The first chelik of the Sefer, and Mitch Hashem will be able to continue to put out the rest of the chalakim with God's help. It would be wrong to begin on the yard site without saying something about Rav Kook. When his own son, Rav Tzvi Yehuda Zichron Levracha, wanted to write about his father, Gimel Elul, there's a chibud, there's a kuntras Gimel Elul, it's on my desk, Nefesh Rai, the soul of Rav Kook. When his own son wanted to write, he said, it's impossible to put into words whatever people think about somebody outside, but the family inside knows the truth. To have that a son should say that his greatness, the light of his father was so powerful that he doesn't know how to put into words something to express, to give over of what his father was. So, Allah has kama v'kama, people like ourselves, all we could do is to read what we have a little bit. I think that many of you have read a beautiful biography that I first read it when it came out in Lashon HaKodesh. You know, Simcha Raz in Eretz Yisrael is a fantastic writer. He did the Tzaddik in Our Time on Rabbi Levine, who was there when Rav Kook was nifted, by the way. Rabbi was at the deathbed of Rav Kook. He was there with Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and with Michael Tukachinsky and other tzaddikim. So Rav Simcha Raz wrote a biography of Rav Kook that's been translated into English called An Angel Among Men. I really hope that you've read this, or that you're reading it. I don't know if it's available still. It's not very old, maybe 10 years ago. I don't know when it came out. There is so much that I would like to share with you, just two little things, and then we'll begin to learn and enter into the Zman. He brings here different stories about that last tkufa in his life, the last time in his life, and the final days of his life, and different writers, different people who saw, who were part of that time, you know, artists and writers and tzaddikim and rebbes, he had with everybody. Chaitim and poishim and reshaim also, that they had, that he was makarv and people that were close to him, every walk of life. So there was something here that I found very touching. And I was thinking about this last time I went to his kever, to his tzion, this past year, up on Har HaZeisim. There was a writer who was with him very much at the end, and he was describing how his condition was getting worse and worse. So I'll read to you, again, it's translated from the Hebrew of this writer, whose name is Shabsei Daniel. See, he writes that his condition worsened, a great deal of blood oozed from his mouth. His face grew yellow, and his eyes gave off a fearful glow. He suffered terribly. The end of his life suffered terribly. His doctor advised moving him to a sanatorium outside the city because the stifling air and constant visits were taking a toll on his health. So before leaving Yerushalayim, he went through every room of his house and visited the yeshiva. And he knew that this was going to be it. So before he left Yerushalayim, he went through every room of his house and visited the yeshiva. He then requested to be driven around the entire city. He had a premonition that he was parting with his Yerushalayim forever, the golden city that gave him so much joy and so much pain. Now, how much he suffered in Yerushalayim from the people who were right of him, who made his life miserable. This city that gave him, the golden city that gave him so much joy and pain. This city whose every granule of sand was precious to him, and whose every resident he held in high esteem. For they were privileged to dwell in the city of the Shekhinah. So he wanted to drive around the whole Yerushalayim, which in those days wasn't as hard as it is now. He gazed at the houses, the towers, and the mountains. As his feeble arms arose spontaneously to embrace the metropolis, the city before his eternal departure, the accompanying doctor ordered the driver to return home immediately. The excitement was having a detrimental effect on the Rav's health. After a short rest, the Rav was taken to the sanatorium. That was the last time he was in Yerushalayim. So he went to the yeshiva, to look at the yeshiva, and then he wanted to drive around the entire Yerushalayim, and he was hugging the entire Yerushalayim and looking at every single place and building in Yerushalayim. That was the last time. And then the description of the chiddush, of who the tzaddik was, which again, everybody writes that he was everything that a Jew could be, anything that we could aspire to be. I mentioned over the years that I spoke to it was a grandson of Rabbi Aryeh Levine who grew up in Yerushalayim way back, and he saw all of the big tzaddikim of Yerushalayim, how it was in the 1920s and 1930s, and he was telling me stories about Reb Chaim Zonnefeld and Reb Shmuel Salant and about Rav Kook and Rav Bengis and the tzaddikim from Yerushalayim. And it was an old man, and I asked him, "Do you remember from your father?" I asked him, "All of these tzaddikim that you saw and you spoke to your father about and your grandfather about, who did they see as the greatest of all of these tzaddikim?" And he said to me right away, he said, without a question, it was Rav Kook. Without a question, they saw Rav Kook as being the Godel Shebe Gedolim. And he said that what he heard in his father's house was that each Adam Godel had a certain area of godless. This one was in Nigla, this was in Makubal, this was in Chesed. So each one had an area. But in each of these areas, Rav Kook was unmatched. Unmatched. In each inyan, he was unmatched. Aleph and Beis. Even an Adam Gadol has a moment here or there of being a little bit less than a Gadol. He says, but by Rav Kook, there was never, ever anything that wasn't about godless. There wasn't anything in his life that wasn't with godless. He brings here in the Sefer, there was a, a, a professor, who was describing what it was like to shake hands with Rav Kook. So what was this to shake hands? He said, every other person, you shake their hand, you felt, when you shake a person's hand, you feel a certain caring and a certain warmth. That's what a handshake conveys. He said that, and this was a secular person, he said when I would shake Rav Kook's hand, when he would take my hand in his hands, he said I felt Mashiach. I felt redemption. It was something different. It was just his handshake was a godless. There wasn't anything that was small. He was among those rare tzaddikim who he himself refers to in the Iris HaKadosh as the Mistaklim HaElyonim that we spoke about. Those who gaze upon things from a higher place. They just look at things in a different way. So there was a very chosheva Talmud Chacham in Yerushalayim. I don't think many of you have heard of him. Maybe some of you have. His name is Rabbi Avram Chaim. Avram Chaim wrote Svarim, three volumes. It was very hard to get. Now you can't get, but it was hard to get, I'm saying, when I got them 30 years ago. Called B'malchus HaYahadis. He was a Chabad Chassid. He's a grandson of big, big, big tzaddikim, the Chaim family in Chabad, from the biggest Rabbanim in Russia. And he was very mekushet to Rav Kook. So it's nicer in the Hebrew, but it would take time to translate. And here it's in the English. Just listen for a second to what Rabbi Avram Chaim wrote after the Ptira, after the Stalkus, after Gimel Elul. If we wished to condense the Rav's essence, Rav Kook's essence, into one word, that word would be soul, neshama. He was entirely soul. And if we were to divide this all-encompassing concept in particulars, we would come up with song, holiness, and Ahavas Yisrael. His harp had special strings. The string of Yiddishkeit and the string connecting the spiritual with the physical. Judaism Yiddishkeit has not yet been expressed as a song. He was practically the first to sing Yiddishkeit, and Yiddishkeit sang to him. This is one of the reasons why I thought that Song of Tshuva, besides the poem, would be an appropriate title for the Sefer. Even Talmudic debate, even the Pilpul of Halacha and Jewish law were a song to him. He saw holiness in the physicality of the ground and the materiality of work. He viewed every Jew, every laborer in Eretz Yisrael, as walking holiness. He hovered in the supernal spheres and rode upon the clouds. Yet his umbilical cord was connected to the soil of Eretz Yisrael, like the mythical Adnei Sada creature whose umbilical cord connects to the earth to receive nourishment. He communed with Kabbalistic masters, yearning for the hidden chambers of Torah, exalted holiness and supernal beauty. Yet his soul was bound to the soul of every pioneer. His great spirit was woven with fibers of love and holiness, and his entire being was a harp, a song, to Judaism. Song and love were the tapestry of his personality, which expressed itself in holy song and Yiddishkeit. What a true godly he was, and what a great truth he embodied. He was a pure and mighty soul, the image of a great Jew, great of mind and noble of heart, an extraordinary Jew, building the kingdom of Judaism and reconstructing the worlds of Knesset Yisrael. So we have a schus. I said this years ago when we started, and I don't know how much has changed in the past. I don't know when we started, how many years ago? 11, I don't know, 12 years ago, I don't remember what it is. But I said this then, that I don't know how many shiurim there are in the entire Gola, in all of Golos. I don't know how many shiurim there are in Rav Kook's writings, or how many shiurim are given publicly. There are many, many, many that are learning it privately, and it's increasing all the time. One of the big rebbes here in New York, which I wouldn't say the name of him right now, I don't think he would want me to publicize this either, but I met his son years ago. He's a very famous rabbi. I met his son at a certain simcha, and we were talking, and he said that on Gimel El, every year, that this rebbe with his children, they make a suda l'kavod Rav Kook, for the yahrzeit of Rav Kook. If I would tell you the name, you would never, ever, ever believe it. Somebody who you all have heard of. And he told me. So I said, you trust me to tell me such a thing? He said, I hope so. I don't know. I won't say the name. But the fact that we have to keep such things secret is is a very, very great reminder that Mashiach hasn't come yet. But things are starting to change. It's a little bit more to hold on. To be zeichev when all of these silly masks and all of these distortions will disappear. But in the world of learning, that same world that often disparages Rav Kook, or if not disparaging him as a person, his teachings, there's a certain fear to disparage him as a person. With the exception of the Hungarians, who are not afraid of disparaging anybody. But other than that, there's a certain fear to disparage him as a person because he's a tzaddik, and still, as far as what he taught and what he represented, there's no shortage ad hayom of that. When the Nevardik Yeshiva in Bnei Brak was completed, and there was the Chanukah Zabayis of the Nevardik Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. Now remember, in those days, Bnei Brak was a very, very new settlement. It was a new settlement. There was a big, big tzaddik who moved to Bnei Brak, who, for the most part, was among Amcha Beis Yisrael, was unknown. Who am I referring to? The Chazon Ish. It was unknown. Gedolei Yisrael knew of him very well. Reb Chaim Oizer wanted very much that the Chazon Ish should take over in Eretz Yisrael. The Chazon Ish's whole teva was, he was Nechbal HaKelem. He was very hidden, the Chazon Ish. But the Chazon Ish lived, which is now one of the most crowded spots in all of Eretz Yisrael. It was the only house there by a field. And the mayor of Bnei Brak had a lamp installed over there, so it shouldn't be dark by the Chazon Ish. So there's a whole story about that also. It's for another time. So the yeshuv of Bnei Brak was just getting started. And the Chazon Ish was becoming more and more known, and was drawing Hasidim and Bnei Torah and Yeshiva people. And the Yeshiva, the Nevardik Yeshiva was finished, and they were making the Chanukah Zabayis. And Rav Kook was invited to speak. And Rav Kook spoke, and the whole Olam was sitting and listening to Rav Kook. Except for one person. There was one Jew at that Chanukah Zabayis who was standing the whole time. And that was the Chazon Ish. And the Chazon Ish, it was a long drosha. The Chazon Ish, and it was at a very hot time of the year. You know what it's like in Bnei Brak in the summer. And the Chazon Ish refused to sit down. And somebody went over, the person who told over the Maaseh, went over and whispered, he says, Rabbi, it's hard. And the Chazon Ish said, I can't sit while there's a Sefer Torah that's standing. So this is a well-known story in Eretz Yisrael. Those who disparage Rav Kook are uncomfortable with that story. Because the Chazon Ish, of course, is seen as the embodiment of the yeshiva world, which often, I'm not talking about the yeshivas and gedolim, I'm saying, but people will say things. So the response to that story usually is, of course, at that point, in their relationship, at that point, the Chazon Ish stood up. But as everybody knows, later on the Chazon Ish was very angry and very upset, and he had nothing to do with, you know, and then this is the way historians work, our historians work. The only problem with that is that when the Chazon Ish was told about the Ptira, when it was Gimel Elul, and the Shliach came from Yerushalayim with the news to Bnei Brak, and they came and they told the Chazon Ish, so the person who brought the news said, the Chazon Ish broke down and was crying, and he said he left and he walked out of the room, he was crying and crying, didn't stop crying. So that was on Gimel Elul. And the emphasis is that those who understood, even though there was some, of course there was disagreement between the Chazon Ish and the Rav Kook, that's undeniable. There was disagreement in certain mahalach of thinking. That's differences between tzaddikim, that's part of what makes us grow. That's beautiful. But the love and the respect and the iskashus of tzaddikim, if we would hear more of that, we would be exposed to more of that, so then the world would become more and more ready to allow Rav Kook's light to enter. But we're on the way, and Be'ez Hashem, the next time that we'll be in Yerushalayim all together talking about this with Mashiach already here, then it will be all understood, will be all clear, and all of these silly superficial things will be finished, and the tzaddikim will all be together, and we'll be together with them in Mitzvah Hashem. There's a piece that I wanted to learn together with you that's very personal from Rav Kook, and it brings us right back into exactly where we're holding in Eiris HaTorah. So it's a couple of pages, we'll be able to finish it in Mitzvah Hashem by next week, but it's exactly what we're learning at this point where we're holding the ninth parak. Exactly. Rav Kook was one of those few tzaddikim who allowed us to enter into his heart. Meaning, he didn't just give over Torah. He spoke about, rarely, but he spoke about himself. And some of his thoughts and feelings that are recorded in his diaries, in his writings, that were allowed to be published. There's a collection called Chadarov that's available, that's out, which is a collection of these places from the different, all over it, that they have in his writings. And there's much, much of Rav Kook's writings that have not yet been published. And this collection brings from these places where in his writings where Rav Kook speaks about himself. And this is one of the places in Chadarov. And this is mamash what we're going to continue with, what we already began with, and we're continuing with in Eiris HaTorah. She'ifasi gedoylehi. My she'ifa, my aspiration, my dream, my goal, my longing is great. And what is that? I have a tremendous she'ifa to bind together, to bring together the ruchnisdik part of Torah with the maisidik part of Torah. We've been learning a lot about this over the past 2 years. To bring together the deeper, deeper hidden part of Torah and the practical Shas and Poskim, the practical Nigla of Torah. The Yom HaRishayim in the early days, Bimei Hanavim. Bivada Yushtei HaTorahs Mechubaros B'Chibur Gomer. There's no question. That in the early days, in the days of the Nevi'im, of the prophets, certainly, these two parts of the Torah were completely one. Were Mechubaros B'Chibur Gomer. V'gam Bimei HaTanoim V'Hamaroim Gamkein. And after the Nevi'im, later on, all the way through the days of the Tanoim and the Amoraim. Every word that we have in Shas carries within it tilei tilim of secrets, piles and mountains of secrets of Torah. And that's not only when the Chachamim spoke about, spoke in ways of Agadita that was not halacha, but even in the halacha, in everything. It was all one. There's a very, very important hakdama that the Nitziv wrote to the Hamik She'ela, to his parish on the Shilta is called Hamik She'ela. Very important hakdama, a long and important hakdama. The Nitziv was the Rebbe of Rav Kook. It would be kedai, if you have, you need a couple of hours for that, it would be kedai to see the hishtalshlus there of what Rav Kook is saying here, although written not in Rav Kook's style, written in the style of the Nitziv, which is very open, which is very clear. But it's without a doubt that through the times of the Nevi'im, all the way through the days of the Tanoim and Amoraim, there was no separation. The Torah was an Etz Yisrael Deka Torah, even when we went to Bavel at the beginning. It was all one. It was all infused with the Ruach of Nevuah, the Ruach of Nistar, of Kabbalah, of Plimius HaTorah. Everything was one. V'gam bimei ha-tanoim v'amroim gam kein. U'mahalach ha-talmud ha-yushalmi And if you want to get a taste of this, and that's more obvious and stronger, that's in the Yushalmi, which is Eitz Seldeke, the Yushalmi, in the Yushalmi. There, the Igud that binds together the Nigla, the Nista, the revealed and the hidden Torah, is more obvious. There's a wonderful sefer that came out this past year, in English, by a very, very chashuv Talmud Chacham who writes about Rav Kook, Rabbi Tzalman Naor, on the whole inyan of the Yerushalmi, which we're going to be talking a lot about, and we're going to be seeing parts of this sefer, on the inyan of the Yerushalmi by Rav Kook. But the Yerushalmi, the Yushalmi is that crossing over from Nevius, from Nevuah into Torah Shabbal Peh. The Bavli is already b'machashakim ha'yishivani k'meisei oilam. The Bavli is already with 2 feet in Golos. With 2 feet in Golos. And even there, of course, as we look, even there is the light of Nevuah, the light of Nista. But in the Yushalmi, it's more obvious. Omnam chasimas ha-Bavli, however, once the Bavli was completed, that chasima of the Bavli, bo alitein ha-evsharus, made it possible, lor ha-Torah she-yore gam b'machashakin, made it possible for the light of Torah to illuminate even the darkest place. And in order to illuminate the darkest place, in order to go out into Golos, because that's what happened then, in order to go out into Golos, the Bavli would have to be mislabish in many levushim, would have to become covered in many garments, like a spy, a secret agent, who's infiltrating into enemy territory. The Bavli would have to disguise herself in order to infiltrate into the darkness of Golos. The disguise of the Bavli is unbelievably convincing. That's what makes a real good spy. And the Bavli had to do that in order to be able to infiltrate, to make its way into every dark corner of Golis, of the world. If the light would be too obvious, if it would be unplugged and uncovered, so then the world would not be able to receive it, just like the way that Hashem created the world. There had to be a tzimtzum, of course, there had to be a constriction of light, or else there couldn't be a world. So the Bavli, which is a lashon of bilbul, of confusion, which is the Torah of Golis, had to be covered. The light had to be covered with many coverings. And that's what makes it so difficult to find Hashem in the discussions, in Halach, in the Pilpulim of the Bavli. And you will occasionally, or maybe less than occasionally, meet individuals who spend their entire day learning Bavli and never once thinking about God. Not thinking in the slightest bit about the Bari Olam, not for a moment. That wasn't how things started in Yiddishkeit, and that's not how they're going to end. But it had to be this infiltration, this mission of the Torah to illuminate Golus had to take place in such a way. Omnam chasimas habali bo liten ha'efshoris lo'or ha'teri she'yo'er gam b'machashakim. In order that the light of Torah should be able to illuminate even the darkest places, the machashakim, which is what I mentioned in the pasuk in Eicha a minute ago, machashakim ha'yeshivani, that Hashem put me into a dark dungeon, Chazal say, that's Talmud Bavli. That's Talmud Bavli. But he says, Rav Kook, Vazman Dairish Ka'es, Lahachzir Esahaifa'a Le'esana. The time has come. The time has come, and the time demands that we restore, we bring things back to the way that they originally were, where there was no separation between Nigla and Nista, between Halacha and Pnimius HaTorah. Between Hashem and Yiddishkeit, as strange as that sounds, between Hashem and Yiddishkeit. Because there's a very, very big divide between Hashem and Yiddishkeit. As I said, and everybody knows, that there are people I'm not talking about people who are not from, there are even people who are from, are living lives where they're officially connected to Yiddishkeit, but have no shaykhs they're doing the mitzvah says Hashem, but they don't sense any connection to Hashem. I feel no connection to God at all. This is upsetting many sincere and honest people, many of whom are under 20 years of age, and many of them just can't take it, and they defect. It's the tachlis. If you know that there's a big God that's hidden in this tiny detail of the laws of Muktzah, then you could really, really enjoy Hilchas Muktzah. But if all you see, as we've been talking about for years, if all you see is some detail in Hilchas Muktzah, and there's no big God that's in that, in what appears to be some tiny technicality in that halacha, so then at some point, either if you're intellectually driven, A, and B, you're afraid to defect, but you're not quite sure what you're going to do outside, so then you might be able to hang on. And then you come late to the davening and you do other stuff. There's a new thing that there are people that are not even, they're just part of the Orthodox world and they're not even Shomer Mitzvahs. But when a person sees that in this, what appears to be this tiny little technicality of halacha, there's a big Rebbeinu Shlomo, so then that halacha becomes big. it is big. This is what Rav Kook spent his life trying to accomplish, especially once he moved to Eretz Yisrael. And he believed that this is something that in Chutz La'aretz is kemat impossible to repair until Mashiach. Work has to be done also in Chutz La'aretz, but it has to begin in Eretz Yisrael. It's a Yerushalmi de Gezach. You see, the Yerushalmi is coming back now. In Ger they have a Daf Yomi already in Yerushalmi for some years. The Leif Simcha already made. Our scroll has come out with Yerushalmi. I don't know, somebody sent me, I have two boxes in my office. I don't even know who the person is, sent a gift to me of the art scroll Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is, that's a simon that Mashiach is not far away. Because if the Yerushalmi is starting to come back, it means that in the world of learning, there's a thirst to reconnect to the Ruach of Nevuah, which is screaming out from every page of the Yerushalmi. So, it's beginning. And Rav Kook says now, Koshali Ma'od. Koshli Ma'od Lasig Binyan Halacha Levad. He said, it's very hard for me to spend my time just learning in Yoni Halacha, just learning Halacha. V'chein Binyan Agada Levad. It's also hard for me just to learn Agada, to learn the things that are not Halacha, Pnimius, whatever. It's very hard for me. We were talking about this morning in the Raza de Shabbos, V'chein Lebasa Echad. Echad. If somebody, Rabbi Avraham Chaim said that the word that he would use to condense Rav Kook into that word was soul, was neshama. I would say, not to compete with an Adam Gadol, but I would say that if I had to say one word, I would probably say or, light. But if I were allowed two words, I would say, or echad, the light of echad. That's Rav Kook's life. Because everything was or echad, to bring everything back to that echad. That's what we were talking about this morning. Binyani nigla levad, it's hard for me to just to learn nigla, the revealed Torah, or binyani nista levad, to learn Kabbalah, to learn nista pnimis levad. Kamari chayim, this is also, koshli lintais berayoin mederech emunah pshuta levad, it's hard for me to hold on to a thought from the world of simple faith, just to go with that way of emunah pshuta, or mederech mechkar, and you can turn over the page. I worked very hard to do that, so don't take that for granted. There was a lot of ones that didn't come out good that are in shameless. But I think I get the hang of it. Obederech mechkar v'higorim levad. I can't just be in the world of emunah pshuta. Rav Kook says it. I can't just stay in that world of simple faith. On the other hand, I can't just stay in the world of mechkar, of intellectual inquiry and logic, be going levad. I can't. It's hard for me to stay just in this or that. V'chein b'tchunas hisboidus levad. I also can't remain. I can't just be in a place of hisboidus by myself. Even though obviously, to be a person like this, there was a lot of hisboidus that was invested into such a person. Alone, being alone. He says, "B'chunas ha'hisboidus levad." I can't just be by myself. As much as he craved all the time, we see this in his writings, to be alone, to be alone. V'chem b'chunas ha'hisboidus levad, u'b'chunas ha'reius v'ha'chavusius levad, And I also can't be, I can't just live in the world of camaraderie and friendship and chaver. I can't do that. I can't be just in this way or in that way. He kol hazramim shaltim bi. All the currents of Yiddishkeit of life rule over me. Ha'emuna v'hakira. Simple faith and hakira, an intellectual inquiry. Halu'umiyus v'amusa. Nationalism and musa. The more personal union of individual improvement and ethics. Ha'halacha v'hagada. Halacha and agada. The halacha part of Tyra. Nigla and Nista. Hanigla and Nista. Habikaris v'hashira. Bikaris means writing or critiquing something. Bikaris means when there is something that you are critiquing, that you're trying to dissect in a way of chakira, which Rav Kook was great at, unparalleled. And at the same time, he says, v'hashira, poetry and song, which is the opposite of bikaris. Es hakol ani muchrach lispog, everything I must absorb. Umitoich ha'achdus shal hamroimim ha'elyoinim, and within that unity of the meroimim ha'elyoinim, of those higher worlds, of the higher world, ani holech, I walk, v'tzored, and I march, l'dovka ba'Hashem be'emes, to attach myself to Hashem be'emes, because the emes is not either or, be'emes. Ulahalais is or kaidah shal knesses Yisrael. And all I want is to lift up the holy light of knesses Yisrael. Berayin in thought, with ideas and thought, or b'maisa, and indeed in action. Limkor chaya, to the source of her life. And in order to do that, I have to be, I can never ever settle into one of these worlds. I must always travel in both worlds, of these worlds. Hinani chaylem chaloymes shel gedoyla gedoylas. I find myself with dreams. Dreams that are gedoyla gedoylas, of the greatest things. Hinani chaylem chaloymes shel gedoyla, my dreams are of the greatest things. Gedoyla gedoylas. Lashchokim ani markia. I soar to the heavens. Ma'atzer ein liruach dimyoni, there's nothing that holds back the ruach of my imagination. Uli she'ifasi hakvu, and the constant, the perpetual longing that I feel to fly, to soar. Ba'osher uvatov, the toyer uvakaydish, and all that's good, and all that's pure and holy. Ani mishtoikek tamid lehizdabek. I constantly long to attach myself. Hativius hatahira shel hayitzur. The natural pureness of creation, of all that exists, of teva, of the world. Shel ha'uma, and the natural pureness of our nation, of our people. Shel ha'ish, of each person, of each man and woman. Shall hashav, each moment. Shall hanetzach, of eternity. And that which encompasses and surrounds all that exists. Umashe mamali is called teichen chaya. The armakif and the or hapnimi, mamali. Soivev kol almin, or mamali kol almin. And all that fills and gives teichen content to the life of our people and of each person, of each moment. All of this, he says, who? Misos chayai, is the joy of my life. K'mochele v'deshen tizba nafshi. Like the fat, like the pasuk says, and the deshen, good food. Tizba nafshi, that satiates my soul. The sif say renones yehalal pi, and my lips are singing constantly Hashem's song. God la Hashem umula ma'oid. Hashem is so great. And there's no way for us to understand, to come to an end, to complete, to finish. Ovay begruz Hashem ashmiya kol tehilasai. Oidcha al ki nairois neflesi. I give you thanks, Hashem. Al ki nairois neflesi, because I am astonished by the wonders, by the awesome things that you have done. Nefloi ma'asecha. All that you have done is truly wondrous. For nafshi, and my soul, Yodas Ma'oid, knows very much, knows this very well. Anit Tzarich Les Ameitz, I have to try very hard. Anit Tzarich Les Ameitz, you know what, it's gonna be chaval to stop in the middle of a paragraph, so we'll try to continue to finish this mitzvah next Erev Shabbos.